Good morning. Welcome to our Mission Festival panel, combined Sunday school classes. Thank you all for being here, and thank you, missionaries, for being here this morning. Let's pray briefly, and then I'm simply going to ask each different missionary or missionary family to share briefly. We've only got a few minutes, so maybe 3 to 5 minutes on each question, and we'll keep moving along. But let's bow. Father, thank you for gathering us. Father, we do pray that you would calm our hearts, and Father, refocus us on you. Refocus us on Christ. Refocus us on what you're doing here and around the world with light in the light of a coronavirus, Father. And we pray you would, Father, give us insight in how to minister and how to live in this particular time. But we thank you, we love you, and pray you bless this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, I have just a question or two for each group. So we'll start with the Bettons, Sergey and Luda. And all right, here's the question, and please just come to the microphone. Like I said, 3 to 5 minutes. And I'm going to be watching that clock very closely, so beware. What are the most common issues you are dealing with in your counseling ministry in Ukraine? And where do you see the greatest opportunities for the gospel?
First of all, I'd say that because our counselors, they work with common people, not only with the Christians, it's really a great opportunity to share the gospel with them. And we and our counselors very often, after their meeting is over, they have additional time with their clients just praying together.
Because our country is going through a very difficult period right now, resisting the aggression of Russia, we deal with post-war traumatic syndrome. There are a lot of people who've been on the battle, and it's very hard for them to come back and adjust to normal life. Also, another big area for our work is refugees who come from the east of Ukraine to the south where we live, and it's also a great opportunity for counseling, helping these people to adjust, to go through some trauma they are suffering, and also to share gospel with them.
How about addiction ministries? I know that's part of what you've done. How does that play in? And how does it play into the PTSD, post-traumatic stress?
To our counselors, Angela and Vova, husband and wife, they were addicted in the past, and they have a special heart for this kind of ministry, and they started support groups in Odessa and also they're waiting for us to start the same group in our town, Belgorod, not far from Odessa.
Addiction is also a big problem in Ukraine. And, you know, dealing with war veterans, sometimes people having post-war traumatic stress, they start finding some other ways to medicate themselves. So it's also part of the work with war veterans.
How about abused women? Thank you.
You know, it's a very serious situation in Ukraine. According to statistics, 500 women die every year of family abuse. So this kind of problem is also under our attention right now. And we have already started free counseling for women who are in such situation. And now our counselors, they try to involve these women into support groups. And then there is a project to organize a shelter for such kind of women where they can stay safe and try to plan their new life.
All right, thank you. The lights have spoken. All right, Zachary. Zachary and Joy, yes, in Bulgaria. In an historically atheist country like Bulgaria, how do you begin sharing the gospel?
I think a lot of it just starts with relationships, because I think a lot of it, the important part is relationships, because once you build that relationship, they can see like how God has changed your life, and that we are sinners, but really like God can shine through in that.
I think another way we're able to do that is to go where the people are already. So, for example, the English clubs, people love to learn English. We look to be involved with that when we get over to Bulgaria, as well as sports. I grew up playing soccer. Soccer is the number one sport in Bulgaria. So I really look forward to being more active physically, but also more involved in the soccer scene over there.
Tell us a little more about kind of the whole shape of your ministry there in Bulgaria.
We have a lot of different aspects because our team's pretty large. So we have, as you might have already heard from the long the dicks, that we have a ministry that works with women that have been sex trafficked. So that's a very big issue in Bulgaria. It's a big exporting country, which is hard to say. And so that's a really wonderful ministry that they're working with to just help those women to see the hope of the gospel and help share with them that that they are worth something and God sees beauty in them and worth, and to just show them the love of Christ and give them that hope of the gospel. And then we also do, like he said, the English clubs, which is really blossoming right now too. They're just growing. Everyone seems to enjoy it, and it's a wonderful ministry as well. And, we have a church plant, and I don't know, you can share more.
Well, all those different activities kind of look to fuel the church plant. They are ways to kind of do outreach to Bulgarians, like we said, because they're not going to naturally just come to church because they're searching or they're curious. Most of the time, it's because they've met someone that's a Christian that has impacted their life. Much like many of us probably have experienced in our lives, that bring them to that church culture and that church community. So that's kind of what the mission looks like in Bulgaria.
What's the status of the church, would you say, countrywide and then kind of in your particular spot there?
Yes, it's a very, very small percentage of Bulgaria. Most of Bulgaria would say they're Orthodox Christian. The majority of those people haven't been to church in a decade or more. So it's mostly an unchurched population. But for evangelical Christians, it's less than 1% of the population of Bulgaria. So it's a small percentage that we're looking, you know, we're hoping to start a movement that will plant churches in Sofia and, you know, around the country to impact each community for Jesus.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
God bless you. Yeah. All right, Chip and Becky Carter, come on up. What are the biggest challenges you face in your teaching missionary kids at Rift Valley Academy?
Well, I'm actually a nurse at the school, and one of the biggest challenges that we face is just like the challenges that everybody here has. It's focusing on Christ every day in our daily walk so that we can infuse into the kids that we serve and Christ into their lives. You know, they go through lots of crazy things just like students here do. We work at a missionary school in Kenya for missionary kids. There's over 500 kids that go to that school. And they face the same challenges, or a lot of the same challenges that kids here do. So allowing them the ability and giving them the tools they need to put Christ at the center of their lives on a regular basis, it's a pretty big challenge.
And our kids at school there come from 30-some different nationalities. So it's a big international school. And many of them as what's called third culture kids, which means they've spent a significant amount of their childhood in another country other than their passport country. That comes in tangent with some issue. I mean, for some, we're thrilled that our three kids grew up as third culture kids, as MKs. And there's so many great things that come along with that. But there's some negatives too. And some of it is they're not as sheltered as kids are here from reality of the harshness of life. Because our kids have seen some really significant, horrible things, for us, post-election violence, that came very close to home and affected so many kids. And many of our kids in our school come, with just having seen and experienced more than what kids perhaps really, it would be totally healthy for them to see it, a little bit more. It does make them more mature in a certain way, and they do have to learn to rely on Christ at an earlier age because sometimes their worlds really are rocked. You know, we have kids whose parents are working maybe in another country even, and they're here with us as a boarding student, and if that country goes through a coup, say, then these kids are away from their parents and just trying to filter out news and wondering how their own family's doing and such. So it does come in tangent on, to us, it's worth the pros and the cons. The pros outweigh the cons. But it does come with its own set of issues there.
Understood.
As far as boarding students?
No, when a missionary family wants their kids to go there, how young will you take them?
If they are, our school has from kindergarten through grade 12, but boarding students, our youngest boarding students are grade 4 currently. And most of those who are boarding that young are either Asians or Africans, where boarding school if they were in their own country, they would be boarding anyway, and so it's not as big a deal. We have a big jump in enrollment as far as boarding students go in grade 7, and then the biggest jump is in grade 9 then, because a lot of people want their kids to have like credits, high school credits and such, and it's tough if you're homeschooling out in the bush to get all of that done. Here in the States, you've got homeschool co-ops and other helps and such for that. We do have a homeschool program there as well, where we come alongside homeschooling parents to help, just as another option.
All right, thank you so much. Alton Hardy, yes, sir. Tell us, and Sandra is here. Yes, sir, come on up. Yeah, tell us about the last... the last year, how's the Lord been at work at Urban Hope?
Urban Hope has been going for, I've been here 7 years, my wife and I. We relocated from Grand Rapids, Michigan. And so the first, so I said 6 years was tough. But this last year, it seems like God is just kind of rewarding, I guess, our faithfulness. And so we're growing. We're at the high school, Fairfield Preparatory High School. We're also at Miles College, and we're just seeing God just do incredible things at Miles College. In fact, you could be praying for this before the kind of end of the world virus came upon us. We were being asked by Miles College leadership, Easter's coming up, to take over their whole campus, to do the religious, they call it Religious Emphasis Week. And we were preparing for that, to be able to have the whole week to be under Urban Hope's leadership to do whatever we wanted as it relates to, and then the virus hit. So we now, so everything is, but with that being said, we're in the process of renovating a building in Fairfield. Downtown Gary Avenue, City of Fairfield, is finally giving us their blessings on that. And it's going to be an incredible place for us to meet for worship. We've been meeting at 5 o'clock for the last, basically since we've been here, in the evening, because we haven't had our own building. But this building will help us do a lot of the work that we're already doing, and to be able to get the kids from Fairfield High School coming to our church, and a lot of the Miles students. The Miles students are really, it's been just, I like to tell people that the Miles kids are really an extension of Fairfield in a lot of ways. They come from all over, but there's a lot of some of the challenges that they're coming from and everything like that. So this year at Urban Hope, a PCA church plant in Fairfield has been the, the glory to God. That's all I can really say. And so we're just thankful that Covenant to be here to kind of share what God is doing, and just thank you for your partnership with us. So I could go on and on, but that's it.
Yeah. Tell us about your staff, your staffing and other, you know, kind of growth that you've seen.
Yeah, you know, for the first 4 years, it was just me, my wife, and my son. They were all staff, but they weren't getting paid. They're just staff. And then God added a slap-out guy, cowboy boots all the time, named Chad Granger, assistant pastor. And then 2019, we went from him and I, and Chad was raising his own salary. We go from him to 4 additional staff. Michael Bourne, director of operations. Karen up at the school at Miles College, Karen Lewis. Dion Watts, who's also coming under care in the presbytery. He's probably going to be a pastor, so kind of raising him up, kind of be the guy that kind of, hopefully, God's grace, providence, he'll probably come after me. And who else? Carla. And, we added like 5 staff people just in 1 year. It's like, I was like, God, why didn't you do this on the front end? But and so everything is just coming together. So it's not just me anymore. I just get to spend my time praying, reading, exhorting, preaching, teaching, marrying people. And that's the thing I end here. You know, we're in Fairfield. Just give you the stats. Fairfield's about 85% fatherless. Birmingham is a region. Downtown Birmingham is about 75%. And so Urban Hope is big on, we know that the family is the key. So that's kind of where we put our teeth in the gospel, is just really commanding people to understand these sexual ethics. And we're seeing God. My wife had some girls over for Miles College this past week. And here's what the girls said, and I end here. They said, being at Urban Hope has literally given us a paradigm shift on family. They're all coming from single parents. They didn't even think it was wrong. They thought it was just normal. And to be in an Urban Hope, it's like, oh, God really wants a man, a father, and a mother to be in the house at the same time. That's the impact God is having in our ministry, in all of the west side of Birmingham. This whole young generation is starting to see that how God has built the family in the blueprint of a father and a mother, which they haven't heard in probably, in my estimation, I'm saying about 60 years. Those issues have not been preached in these kinds of communities. So.
Awesome. Thank you. All right, the Loverns, Trey and Melody Lovern, Undone, Redone. What trends have you seen recently in Christian marriages? Thank you for the little transition there. In the midst of counseling others, how do you keep your own marriage vital?
Well, a lot of trends. Those of you don't know, we work with a lot of marriages in crisis, specifically around sexual brokenness. And that's certainly what was impacted our Undone, Redone story, being married for 11 years, divorced for 6, and now being remarried for 11. And so there's certainly a lot of attack on the family, and sexual brokenness is one of those areas. Pornography is a pandemic. And, for us, I think just seeing the necessity of, one, knowing that there is a target on us as we do this work. And that's why we covet the prayers of partners like Covenant, and just so appreciate the partnership that we have. But here's the other thing: as we look at the pandemic of pornography, we also realize, and this is really what our ministry is about, is that God is not wringing his hands about that issue. He's actually using it as a doorway to the gospel, because anytime willpower is not fixing a problem in our life, it's such a doorway to help men and women realize how desperate they really are for a Savior. Mm-hmm. And so that's really what we see happening in our ministry. And, just one thing, 2 years ago, just as a thank you to Covenant, just so you know, we were here 2 years ago and we met Sergey and Luda from Ukraine. And that started a relationship then that allowed us this past June, again, with Covenant support, to join Sergey, Luda, and a team for 14 days in Ukraine to do training for some of their therapists there in the Ukraine. So just a thank you that not just you get to hear from us, but also your missionaries that you're supporting are also now beginning to work together because of the work of Covenant Press. So thank you for that.
Yeah, and I was just going to add that, you know, Trey said that pornography is a gateway to the gospel, but I would even say pain is a gateway to the gospel. And so many individuals that we work with and walk with, whether that's churches or even people that don't believe, we find that, you know, if pain is the gateway to come in and to sit with us and to sit with somebody and to listen and to hear them and validate their pain and trust that God is at work, we get to see day in and day out, we see death so many times in individuals and in marriages and things like that, but we get to see the beauty of the gospel and resurrection. You know, there's death and then there's resurrection. And so that is what we're continuing to see in this, is as we just love people where they are and trust that as we continue to remind them of who God is and who they are in the midst of the story that God is writing, that we see them come out of that pain and back into their identity in Christ and into the next chapter and their purpose in the world. And so that's been really encouraging as well.
Do you guys, I mean, just thinking about the broad shape, over the mountain communities, you know, versus surrounding areas versus beyond, how does that, I mean, where are y'all's fingers all touching?
Yeah, it touches all, but if your question is kind of like, is there's no respect for persons in this issue.
Right.
If anything, probably most, I would say the majority, come from over the mountain families in crisis. And really, it's an opportunity for transparency in the gospel, you know, where there's hiding and cover up because of shame. And they're coming maybe the first time somebody else knows, but then the opportunity for them to begin to really understand, as Melody said, that true identity, that there is no reason for hiding and cover up. So I don't know if that...
Well, and I would just add that part of what we've had an opportunity to do is a weekly podcast. And so we're seeing God redeem technology through an international podcast where people can get the grace and gospel message in places like Sudan. We have this map that we can see where our podcast is touching. And it's far reaching. And so people are getting that message in places that maybe they wouldn't get that message. And so through online resources and courses and our podcast, we're able to see God redeem technology when we're also seeing that technology can be a place that there's fallout. So it's encouraging.
Awesome. Thank you. All right, Melinda McGahee, we see you at least every Christmas, right? With
yes,
the Love
yes,
Lady so, concert.
Covenant does several things for our women. We think we appreciate y'all.
We love it. We love it. All right. We do love being a part of that. What is your greatest joy that you derive from this ministry?
Oh, wow. My greatest joy, I love to see transformation that only God can do in the broken and how he... many times we'll see a woman come into our program and they're hopeless. They seem hopeless. And they are just empty and sometimes not believing at all. Sometimes where it's so odd for me to know that someone might not have even heard of Jesus, especially from living in Alabama. And when they either don't know, don't believe, or just lost as can be. And then as you start sowing into their life and it takes us all, this is, I'll say, and I think there's no way they're ever going to make it. And then just, you just start seeing God transform them and they become life. And then my favorite where I see it is, you know, at graduation, baptisms, it's amazing to see how just with Jesus, the light and the life that comes to them. And it's a beautiful process. It's definitely my favorite. I love baptisms and I love graduations.
Awesome. How can people get involved? Because I know that's something that, you know, it's there are places, again, thinking about just congregationally, can people get involved?
Oh, absolutely.
By showing up or calling in?
Yeah, absolutely. I will tell you another just joy that happens more frequently than the baptisms and the graduations is worshiping with our ladies. When you see such raw, where they have such an appreciation for who he is, and they want to honor him and truly worship him. And I know I enjoy, last night we had a little panic, so we had to bring all our girls together and I was like, oh, we're trying to sow, speak life into a situation right now where we're all a little like, what do we do? Where do we go? How do we protect? And and just speaking life into them, and then we worship to reckless love, and it was just acknowledging God's love for us, and it was such a joyful moment, and a moment where we started off, they were starting off in fear, and when we ended together, and acknowledging that He doesn't give us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and sound mind. So how do people get involved? Mm-hmm. Well, at Covenant, as y'all have hosted the yearly concert, what we do, and I've said this in a Sunday school class before, what we spend 9 to 12 months sowing into their life and trying to show them the love of God, what y'all do by those type of events is a tremendous difference. Y'all do it in a night, what takes us 3 to 4 months to show them. Y'all are showing them what we're telling them. So events like that, the Sacred Studio, y'all allowed some of our girls to come to, and it was absolutely beautiful. And they, excuse me, several of them brought things to me that they had made here, and just how God revealed Himself to them, where it was that personal, individual love for them. So those things are wonderful. And then we have instructors that come and teach classes there. We do 6 weeks classes, so people can participate that way. A lot of people come in, and we put Easter baskets together yesterday for our people. So, the sky's the limit.
Yeah.
Volunteer opportunity.
Yeah. Thank you. No, that's great. Yes. For those of you who haven't been to one of our Love Lady concerts, again, every December, and just like you said, the joy and just the energy that is in here is pretty unique. So that's a bunch of fun. How about Catherine and Taylor? Yes. They've been serving in Bulgaria, but are now at Covenant Seminary in St. Louis. Let me say that is the best seminary in the PCA. tell us about you guys meeting, getting together, and then your ministry in Bulgaria, and then just where you see the Lord leading you through seminary.
So I've been with MTW Bulgaria for about 8 years, and I went from short-term to long-term in 2014, and I have been mainly working with the church plant, specifically in the anti-trafficking Daughters of Bulgaria Foundation, and my role is to help build the bridge from the street to the church. The girls see the church as sacred, I am sinful, therefore I cannot go. But if we show that we are also sinful and we can walk alongside them, they're just as Zach said, to go where they are. And so that's been my main role through outreach, prevention, and aftercare with the girls. But in 2017, Taylor, Zach, and Joy, and a few others, came for our internship during the summers. We host a June and July internship for people either in college or after graduation who want to explore ministry and missions and want to see kind of maybe just explore their calling. And we had about 9 people, and Taylor actually already had planned to extend. And through that 2 years, we fell in love and we got married. we got married last New Year's Eve. And I'll let you tell them your role.
So I went over to Bulgaria with Zach and Joy and had the privilege of meeting them and excited that we're going to be there back there at the same time. But primarily I was working with our English clubs, doing outreach towards the people in the community who were seeking to learn English as a foreign language. And I served on our missionary homeschool co-op. So we have a school that partners with missionaries that are serving in Sofia to help teach their kids through the day from kindergarten through high school. And so I worked with that for a year. Going back, I'll be working more directly with the church plant, doing outreach towards visitors and youth in who are coming and visiting, finding a place for them. Where do they fit in the church? Showing them that we want you here. We're a community, and we want you to be a part of our family. And you can serve. You have a place amongst us. So
we right now we are at Covenant Seminary. I'm getting my master's in counseling. He's getting his MDiv. And we will go back every single summer to kind of reconnect, and then I'll have a lot of board meetings. And we will graduate in 22 and then just go directly back to Bulgaria. We will both be working with the church plant, but I will also be the president. I'm being transitioned to the president of the foundation. So if you'd be praying for me as I go from a member to secretary to president as a 33-year-old. So that's a lot of pressure.
How do you like St. Louis?
We love it. I mean, seminary is busy, so we don't get out much.
Yeah.
but we do. We love the city. Yeah. I'm a Cardinals fan, so yeah.
Right. Well, great. Great to have y'all here, and all the best in St. Louis for sure. Look forward to you guys being back in Bulgaria.
Thank you.
Bless you. All right. The Pepons.
I lost my question.
Good.
Oh, yes. Why is it important for the Christian mission to include medical care? Jim is a physician. And what are some of the best opportunities for your current ministry?
I think it's abundantly obvious the importance of how ministry and medicine are combined. We're going through this crisis, and we all have an incredible opportunity to share our faith at the grocery store, and doctors have an even more incredible opportunity because people are looking for answers. And there's only one true answer, and that is Jesus Christ. So we all know this, but we don't want to face the fact that we are mortal. So you want to add?
No, I'm just fine.
So usually I ask the question to people, what happened to every person that Jesus healed? And so the medical students that I work with, they'll say, well, they went to heaven. They every other answer except they died. So all the healings that Jesus did, and of course, with this coronavirus, we want everybody to be healed, but that's not the hope. The hope is in getting the eternal hope, life everlasting, and not the temporal that we suffer through now.
Tell us a little bit about the shape of your ministry within Ukraine, especially kind of leading other physicians within the country there.
We work probably more with medical students,
right.
and the goal is to work within the medical system. If you want to change a medical system quickly, you get involved in education. And this past year, we had our 10th international conference for Christian conference for young medical professionals, and that was held in the Kharkiv International Medical Institute. And the crowning point for that meeting was there was the guy who was the director of, assistant dean for medical education at the University of Cincinnati. He's standing next to the rector of that university, and I later found out the discussion they were having was, she said to him, you know, my country is corrupt. Our medical system is corrupt. And I want to be part of changing that system. And so we're very excited about how being able to penetrate the faculties of schools, and that's a tough thing to do. And we're also excited about penetrating the faculties here in the U.S.
Great, great. We look forward, and Jim and Mariana have been part of the missions festival many times, and look forward to many more times. Thank you for sharing in that regard. And we do have a number of physicians, so I know there's a lot of common ground there. We have just about 7 or 8 minutes left, and why don't we go into a time of prayer? And since we're kind of a small group, would someone just around the group individually pray for one of our missionaries? And we'll just kind of open it up and just pray out loud for one of the missionaries so that we touch all of them in the next 7 or 8 minutes. So let's just bow. And again, if you kind of feel led, please just pray right where you are for one of our missionaries.
Father, today we thank you for this opportunity to hear these wonderful messages and ask that you would continue to move upon all of our hearts to engage your mission here and around the world. This morning we want to lift up Alton and Sandra to you and ask that you continue to bless their ministry of Urban Hope and all those who are working with them. We take great pleasure, Lord, that you have chosen to expand their ministry this year. As Alvin said, we don't know why you waited until this year, but we're thankful that you did. And we pray that in the days ahead, they may reach more and more people to come into the fold of Jesus Christ. Would you continue, please, to heal these families and teach them that husband and wife are meant to live together, to rear children together. We pray that the whole Fairfield community will feel the impact of the presence of Jesus Christ through Urban Hope in the days ahead. We pray in Jesus' name.
Gracious God in heaven, we do come before you this morning with grateful hearts. We know that you are the sovereign King over all the earth, and that there are folks meeting in every place, some in homes, some in secret, some in the open, praising your name this morning, even in the midst of chaos. So we're thankful, and we're excited that the name of Jesus is being proclaimed. We pray for the Dix family as well as the Sales and the whole NGW Bulgaria team, a growing team, and we lift up that country. We pray especially for Taylor and Catherine as they are in their transition and doing well in seminary, that they would finish well, that you would keep their hearts stirred for the people of Bulgaria, that you would provide ample opportunity for them to remain connected. And for Catherine especially, as she transitions into this new world, that you would give her peace. And you would also help her to see how she's been providentially brought to that place to serve you and your people. We pray for Zach and Joy as they get ready to get to the field, that you would prepare a place for them, and that you would provide them ample opportunity to spread the name of Jesus as they interact with folks in the English classes and soccer ministry and the church plant. Lord, that you would bring many, many more people to bow their knees before Jesus through your church, and that they would proclaim his name. We lift up the whole team to you, and we ask that you would make your name great among them. We pray all this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Father, thank you for Trey and Melody. We just pray that you would bless them, continue to be upon them, their ministry, where there is brokenness in marriages around our communities, our Birmingham area. We know you're at work, we know
Great God, we thank you for this church and missionaries here, are just a small handful of all the missionaries that they support. And when we look back over the years that this church has been involved in missions, the huge impact that this church has had, not only in Birmingham, but in the world. We thank you and praise you for partnership that they provide for us and making it possible for many people to Christ in many different parts of the world.
Amen. Lord, we thank you for the sacrifice, the courage, and the commitment of each of these missionaries. Amen.
Father, the country of Ukraine is special to us. More importantly, the people of Ukraine are important to you. A lot of ministry going on there, Lord. So I would thank you for what you and Marianne are doing, for Sergey and Luda, and this partnership that begins to develop between their ministry and the undone reborn ministry here. I pray, Lord, that you just solidify those relationships. Same with us here, so as we go forward to advance your kingdom in this world. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Father, we lift up to you the Carters
in Kenya, Father, and their ongoing ministry with so many kids and others. God, give them patience. Give them strength as they lead and as they teach, and allow your gospel seeds to fall upon fertile ground there. We pray for Melinda and the other folks at Love Lady. Father, thank you just for the magnificent work that we see day by day, week by week, year by year, and as she shared, baptisms and lives that are transformed and continue to be transforming. And so, Father, we pray for your care over all those ladies, and especially today in close quarters as they live there. God, would you grant special protection to them. And Father, thank you. Thank you for the encouragement of being here this morning and the voices that we've heard. And God, we pray your continued blessing on all these ministries as they fan out across the globe. God, draw us closer to you even as they go out. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, missionaries, quick break, but please meet in the parlor in about 5 minutes. And we've got, according to that clock, 14 minutes before worship. So take a quick break, and we'll be back soon.